So we're in this I Believe series, and so we believe in the Father, we believe also in the Son, Jesus, and we also believe in the Holy Spirit, and we talked about that. But I believe also in the power of the Holy Spirit that is above all things. So anything that we speak in the name of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is subject to changing because of that. No matter how tough and how awkward it might even look to you. So, I believe. And that's putting the action. You can have faith. You can have faith, but if you don't believe, to put that faith into action, it just kind of stops. Because even the devil believes in that the Word of God is the Word of God. But we need to put that action with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in me, it is, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, guess what? It'll bring life, give life to your mortal body. That's awesome, because there's some things we just can't do on our own strength. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. And Paul and Silas and Timothy are writing this, or at least they're introducing themselves in this short epistle. It's kind of like a postcard that came to the church. It'd be just like Richmond Pentecostal receiving something from an apostle who said, I just want to encourage you in this. And so listen to this. To the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. I thank God for everyone in Richmond Pentecostal Church. I do. And I pray for you. And I can't pray for you all by name because I can't remember all your names. And I don't even think I know all your names. But I pray for this body. And I tell everybody in our district, even when we're traveling, I tell them how good this church is. This is the best church. Don't let that get out, but it's truly the best church. And you know why it's the best church? It's because everyone here is focusing in on what we're supposed to focus in on. And that's God the Father's love, the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the gift of salvation. That's what it is. So Paul says to this, to the Thessalonians, we always thank God for all of you and continue to mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a series right there. Your work produced by faith. Because we do. I mean, if we step ahead, we see things change. We see lives change. We see our lives change. We see other people's lives change. We find ourselves in exciting places and exciting things to do for the Lord. And by your endurance, inspired by hope, hanging in there. You ever wanted to give up? You just kind of, some mornings you get up and you go, oh man, I really don't want to look at this day. Because that's your strength. But you have that faith inside of you that says he's overcome everything so that you can walk in that power, and you can endure. And endurance isn't something easy. Have you ever endured anything? If you've done a 10-mile or 10K run, or if you've done something that took all day to accomplish, and you just wished that you didn't have to do any more, like maybe in the middle of it, but you finished it, that's called endurance. When I was a kid, I used to throw bales. And it was good when you started first thing in the morning because you had lots of energy. But like by 10 o'clock, you're really tired. And then when you looked out in the field, it looked like nothing had been moved. And then there was this guy in a tractor who was going around making more bales. As you were picking them up, every time you picked one up, four were being made. You were not going to get done through the day. And so you just had to endure because you couldn't quit. You had to stay there and work. That's endurance, because that's inspired by hope. We have a living hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ because of him. Continue on, it says, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Isn't that awesome? Like, you just didn't fall into this family. You just didn't get picked up off the street. He chose you because the gospel came to you not with simple words, but also with power. Think about when you heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the simple words that are written for you to read, but it was the simple words wrapped in the power of the Holy Spirit to connect with your spirit and with deep conviction. Deep conviction means that he just kind of shines a flashlight on something in your life. And to begin with, it's our sin. And what he does is he draws us to a place, but he convicts our heart. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's come to convict us, not to condemn us, but to convict us. So it's just like driving along, and many of you have seen this, where you're driving along, and in the back of your mirror, or in the front of your mirror, there's this little red and blue light flashing. And you're in a school zone, or you're in a construction zone, and you know that this is not good. You hope that he's just going to an accident somewhere, right? You'd rather somebody be in an accident than you be speeding. That's the way we kind of rationalize this thing. So when the cop pulls you over, you are convicted. And so in your heart, you know, some people just confess it out. Yeah, I was going too fast. Some people kind of mess with it and go, well, I don't really know how fast I was going. I usually just say, when he asks me, how fast were you going? I go, too fast. Because you're here, and I'm not driving anymore. So there's this deep conviction inside of us. Because of our sin, because of whatever it is, what he wants to do is change you. And he just doesn't come up like other people with kind of constructive criticism. Have you met those wonderful people? Who just kind of tear you apart and then walk away. And then, you know, you can't even rebuild yourself because they did such a good job of tearing you down. But the Holy Spirit doesn't come in and say, just rant and rave and change everything and then walk away. What he does is he says, you know, you shouldn't probably be doing that. And your heart goes, yeah. Your spirit goes, yeah. And then he says, this is how you change that. Repent. Continues on and says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. I'm always struggling with this. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And, you know, to be an imitator of me is, I just don't feel like I'm that good of an example. I really don't. I mean, that's a good thing to confess being your pastor, right? But honestly, I think I have so much to change still. I have attitude problems. I had really big attitude problems. None of you knew that. You probably thought I was just this gentle, wonderful person right from the time I was little. But there are witnesses. There are witnesses that say, no, that wasn't true. And so what God has done in my life has changed some of those things, but I'm not finished. I'm not 100%, and I'll never get to be 100% until I get into glory. Neither will you. But you know, we want to attain as much as we can to become more like him. And so it's like looking through a glass darkly. What we want is God to clear up the glass so we can be seen as Christ more clearly by others. And when it starts to happen, you know, the responses, do you remember that? With people you hung out with, people I grew up with? Like, they didn't know what to say to me. Like, you don't swear anymore. And you don't drink anymore. And it's just like I say, well, I guess you feel that I'm kind of dead then because I don't have any vital signs. You know, if you don't swear and you don't drink. And in my circle of truck drivers and loggers and welders and that type of thing, that's what you had to do. I mean, that's what you did. That was our culture. And so when you start changing that, they don't know what to do with you. But you can still function. And you become that example. And you don't have to stand there and preach the gospel to them every time they say something. You just have to be that example. And that comes, that's endurance that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit because we have that living hope. And it says, so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. So therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception they gave to us. They tell you how you turned out, or you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. You turned from idols. Well, there was a lot of idol worship in Thessalonica and in different places that Paul went. And so they turned from those things. I remember when we first got saved, and I told you that I drank for about a year and a half. That wasn't my idol, that was my crutch. And so I hung on to that. But there was other things that I actually worshipped. And how could you figure you worship? Well, my definition of worshiping something is if I spend money and time on something, if I spend lots of money and lots of time on something, that's taking my time away from, could be my wife, could be my kids, could be my job. And so I'm actually worshiping that. And so pornography was a big thing in my life. Both Elaine and I. We were just married when we were kids at 18 and 20 or 19 years old. And so we had all these kind of things that we kind of grew up with. And so it was common. It was part of our culture, again, to have this kind of influence in our life. And after we got saved, our pastor started preaching on these areas about how to be more like Christ. And so what he did is he said, it's like gold. You know, gold is fine. We were in the Yukon, and I would see like rivers of gold flow out of the riffles, out of the machinery up there, the sluice boxes, and literally five gallon pails would be filled with gold. Now, you can't pick up a 5 gallon pail when it's filled with gold. Not only can't you pick it up because it's heavy, but the guy who owns it won't let you pick it up, okay? Because there's a lot of money in there. But that is not pure gold. That has a certain percentage and actually a different color. Every creek is different. And after you've been up there for a long time and you're a prospector, you can look at the different colors of gold and you can almost tell the percentages of purity and you can tell which creek it's from. And it's very similar with us. There's certain levels of things that have been already dealt with in our lives, and then there's certain levels that need more. And the reason, or the way that it happens, that this becomes more pure, this gold, is it's refined by fire. And remember in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized in water, that or just before he was, John the Baptist came and said, there's someone who's going to come who will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. You ever thought about why he said fire? Because fire kind of burns away the dross, right? And I don't know whether you've ever been through this process yet or not about the Holy Spirit burning away dross inside of you, but it's not a lot of fun because the dross comes to the top and the heat's still on. And they pour the dross off, and then they watch to see if there's any more dross coming. So it takes a lot of heat to melt and boil gold. So guess what? Some of my stuff took a lot of boiling, a lot of heat. And I just sat there and said, pour it on, God. I really like this. Not in your life. I complained. I said, why don't you leave me alone? That's what I told him lots of times. Leave me alone. Pick on somebody else. I'm pretty good. Like, I'm not like some other people I know, and I would name them even. Because that's how I'd come along. And there was, I mean, he had to work on the pride piece after too. But we need to become like him, and that dross needs to come off each one of our lives. And so our pastor preached on this, worshiping idols, and he said, so if you have something in your house that you spend time with, or you worship, you pay money for, or something that takes you away, it could be your television. It could be your iPad. It could be your Apple Watch. Somebody gave me an Apple Watch. It's really awesome. They put a watch and wrapped it around an apple. And they said, here's your Apple Watch. And also on that watch was very unique because it had two faces. Honestly, two different clocks on there joined together. And so I didn't know whether that was another kind of a message as well, that maybe I was two-faced or something. He didn't say that. But there was this Apple Watch. And you know, the sad thing is that Apple Watches like that are only good for about 3 weeks, and then the apple gets rotten. And so they're not very good. But we could spend time. I mean, we can have, oh, it just went off again. Oh, there it is. Oh, or we can spend hours and hours, and we can isolate ourselves so it can become an idol. We can buy that brand new Ford pickup, one F-150. We could buy that. We could buy the car. We could buy the house. We could buy all those kind of things. And if it takes us away from Jesus, if it changes our life, it's an idol. In our case, pornography was big. And also rock music. Not so much me. I wasn't a rock music guy. I was a cowboy. I really was. I had to rent shoes when I got married because Elaine would not let me wear my cowboy boots. I had to rent shiny plastic shoes. I never rented shiny plastic. I would never rent them again. But she wouldn't let me get married in a snap button shirt. I don't even wear snap button shirts anymore. But when I was changing over to keep peace in the family, I don't know how many shirts that I just ripped open like that and the buttons went all over the room because I forgot they weren't snap button. So as a cowboy, and my songs were, they're ballads. They were Johnny Cash and Charlie Pride, and they all had a story. I mean, it's a horrible story, but they had a story. Wasn't like Elaine. She was into goat's head soup with the Doors. She was into all this crazy stuff that, like, it didn't make any sense to me. I guess the only reason I thought it made sense is because they'd smoke those funny little cigarettes, you know? And then it sounded good, I guess. But this was our life. And then when the pastor started preaching on this, it wasn't like that he pointed to me and said, you got to get rid of, you know, your attitude towards this, and Lane's got to get rid of her cowboy or her rock and roll stuff, and both of you got to get rid of your pornography. It was like the Holy Spirit came on us and said, you got to get rid of this stuff because it's blocking your relationship with me. And so we had a welding business and had a big burning barrel. So what we did is we took a lot of our books. We took all the magazines that we had, and we took all the records that we had. I kind of sorted out a few of the country ones because there's country gospel too, so it was okay. Although I never listened to it. At least I didn't think so. But I remembered On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. And I saw the light. And I used to sit and drink beer with that. And I think, these are good songs. I had no idea that they were actually evangelistic songs. I didn't know that. And then when I finally got saved and listened to those songs, On the Wings of a Snow White Dove, and I go, wow, that's about salvation. But we took this, all this stuff, and honestly, we built a big fire in there, and we threw this stuff in, and it cost us a lot of money. But it was worth it. Because once we shredded it, we'd shred it today probably, once we burned it, it was done. It was out of our life. And he could work in other areas. It's just kind of like defragging a computer. You know what that's like? Because you got all these lines, and I don't know much about it, but I know that if the lines aren't lined up and filled and all that kind of stuff, you need to defrag it and defrag it until it starts to tighten up so you have more space. What he wants to do is defrag your life. He wants to wash it clean. And so that's what he did in our lives, and it was painful. But it was worth it because we're able to become more like Christ. In Genesis 35, Jacob had just wrestled with the angel in Jabbok. And he'd been a bit of a crook. Yeah, he was a little bit of a crook. Even though God changed his name to Israel, one who wrestles with God, he'd beat his brother out of, his birthright and this kind of stuff just over some porridge. But the guy was hungry and he didn't really care. But he was a bit of a crook. So now he had to face Esau, the one he ripped off. And so he was planning to go there and meet with him. And so this kind of follows that story of after meeting with him. Verse 5 of 35, it says, God spoke to Jacob, go back to Bethel, which is the house of the Lord. Stay there and build an altar to God who revealed himself to you when you were running for your life from your brother Esau. Hey, this wasn't a good relationship. It was okay while Dad was still alive, but as soon as Dad died, Jacob thought, you know what? Esau's just going to come and take me out. And he's got good reason. And instead, when he met Esau, Esau says, hey, I'm okay with you. But Jacob still had to do some bargaining. Well, just take these presents anyway, because I'm still afraid of you. And Jacob told his family and all those who lived with him, throw out all your alien gods which you have. Take a good bath and put on some clean clothes. We're going to church. We're going to the house of the Lord. So what do you do? Get rid of your idols. Get rid of all the stuff, all the alien gods. You know, we have a lot of actual alien gods that come in, spirits that come in from the things that we worshiped. In many countries, that happens all the time. And so not only are they there, but we brought them here. Whatever it is, the spirits, whatever they are, if you've been into Ouija boards and if you've been into tarot card reading, if you've been into a lot of things that are spiritual, there's a connection there and you need to lay that down. You need to lay that down. God is a jealous God. He's not a God to share with any of your spiritual activities beforehand. You have to give yourself 100% to him. And you need to quit a whole bunch of other things. And you might say, well, this is okay. This is what I'm doing. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'll tell you, what you need to do is you need to do some research on what you're doing. Find out what the spiritual connotations are. What does a Buddhist mean? What does a Buddhist monument mean? What is something that you brought back from another country? We had one lady in our church that just had frogs all over her house, not the real ones, but just like frogs all over. And she was having some trouble in her life. She became a Christian, she couldn't understand, but she really liked frogs. I like sheep, and I have them in my office, but they're a lot safer than frogs because frogs were in one of the plagues, and there was a god after the frog. There was a god named after the frogs. And so it was like that influence was in her house. What has somebody given you from another country? What little statues in your bathroom? What little statues in your living room that you kind of think is kind of benign? It's okay. When you give a Bible to someone, do you pray that God will speak into their heart? That they'll read this and change their life? Let me tell you something. Those little things that you get as gifts, those little things you buy in markets, there's the same thing upon them. There's actually curses on them for you. And you need to wash yourself clean. You need to put that down. You need to take whatever idols you have, you need to put them in a bag, and you need to smash them with a hammer. You need to burn things. You need to shred things. You need to get them out of your life. You do. You have to. Young people, you do need to do that because they'll have a foothold in your life. And in parents, it's the same thing. You might have dragged something through your whole entire life, and you need to lay it down. You need to lay it down today so that you can walk free without this thing hanging on to you anymore. Jesus wants you to be free. He said, I came to set you free. If you know me, you are free. And that's what Paul is saying here. Or not Paul in Genesis, but Jacob. So he says, throw them out. Well, yeah, but they cost me a lot. So throw them out. If you need something replaced, God will replace it with something good. And he'll look after the supply of funds or whatever you need, but throw it out. Then take a bath. Get baptized. If you need to get baptized in water, you're just saying to everybody around you, I need to show everyone that I have died with Christ and I've risen again into new life. And then you need to go to the house of the Lord. Go to Bethel. Just hang out. Now, that's not church. Because we get that all mixed up. We kind of think that this is church. You're the church. This is a universal church. So you're the church, the Baptist church down the street's the church, the evangelical free church is anyone who preaches Jesus Christ is the church. So if you don't get along with them, you better start now because you're going to spend eternity with them. Maybe. if you don't get along with them now, you better find out why you don't get along with them, because maybe you won't have that problem. You need to understand that Christ is coming back for a bride. One church. Not a denomination. Not a certain type of doctrine. He's coming back for his bride that he shed his blood for, gave the gift of salvation, and we are them. Isn't that awesome? That's what it's all about. So, put down your idols. Throw them away. Kick them out. Get rid of them. Have a bath. A good bath. And put on clean clothes. Because you're going to celebrate. Right? You should come to church going, oh, I'm expecting something. I've pastored here for 2.5 years now. It's amazing. And a little bit before that as an intern pastor, but I come expecting something to happen every Sunday. I do. I honestly do. I'm not just saying that so I can keep my job. Honestly, I honestly expect something, and I expected something to happen in worship today. I'm expecting God to do something in your lives today because that's why we meet. There's no other reason. So we need to go to Bethel. And he says, I'm going to build an altar there to God who answered me when I was in trouble and has stuck with me everywhere I've gone since. Hey, lay it down. Building an altar was a pile of rocks. What it was is a reminder. You'd walk by the pile of rocks and somebody would say, what's that pile of rocks for? And you go, hey, I got a story. You have a story. The day that you came to Jesus Christ, you have a story. The things that he's done yesterday, today, and even and what he's going to do in the future, that's your story. So you got something to say. And you need to say it. And he turned over to Jacob all the alien gods that they were holding on to, along with their Lucky Charm earrings. Lucky Charm. I thought it was a cereal. My friend that led me to Jesus Christ was blind, and we were both welders. But before he went blind, he made one of those charm bracelets for Elaine. No, actually, he made me an ashtray. Like, I didn't even smoke, but he made me this ashtray. And he was blind. And he was a good carpenter, but he made this out of some boards, 2x4s bent, nailed together, and then he put an old mayonnaise lid on top, and he nailed that in there, and he wanted me to keep it in my living room. So we kind of had this thing going back and forth. So being a welder, what I thought is I'd make his wife a charm bracelet for her arm. So I swept up my shop floor when I'm welding on big equipment, and there's welding, pieces of the welding rod like this, and there was washers, and there was bent pieces of metal that I'd cut off, and so this thing weighed about 35 pounds, and I put it on a nice chain, like, which was a little bit bigger, similar to what we have out here, that holds the gates together, and then what I did is I painted it silver, and then I offered him that to give to his wife as a charm bracelet. I don't know what your charm bracelet is, but it might even be something that signifies something on your arm. But it might be also something that you trust in. Remember rabbit's feet? They weren't that lucky for the rabbit. We had a bunch of rabbits walking along in little wooden pegs after that. There's no good luck in this whole game. What it is the faith that you have in the living hope, and Jesus Christ brings it to pass. One of my favorite things is that there's been this fortune teller company who went broke. And the first thing I said is, didn't they see that coming? Like, they couldn't have been that good. Like, if they know the future, they should know that that was going to happen. So he said, all your idols and all your alien gods and all your Lucky Charm earrings, and he buried them under an oak tree in Shechem. Get rid of them. Put them down. Get rid of them. Get them out of your house. And then they set out. And this is exciting. A paralyzing fear descended on all the surrounding villages so that they were unable to pursue the sons of Jacob. We walk in the best company. We walk with the strongest leader. We walk with the army of God. You do not have to fear anyone physically. You don't have to fear anyone in the spiritual realm, because we are more than conquerors. We are more. Did you hear that? We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And so we can walk in this peace, and somebody who comes against you has to come against God as well. And we need to be people who can trust him. And let's go here to continue on 1 Thessalonians and to wait for his son to come from heaven. So we're going back into this story that Paul is writing, and Paul and Timothy are writing to the Thessalonican church, we're waiting for Jesus to come, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Those are the promises. He's coming back again. He's been raised from the dead. And he rescues us from the coming wrath. How are you going to work that into your theology? Well, you know, we might go through the tribulation, and we might not, and we might go halfway through, and I don't know. I don't get hung up on that stuff. It sounds to me like he'll keep us from that. But also know brothers and sisters are going through a tribulation worse than we, or not worse, but similar to what we read about in the end times. So I don't know how that works. What I'm telling you is, don't get hung up on that. Get hung up on his word, who says, rescues us from the coming wrath. For we know, Paul says this, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. This morning, we need to respond to that. How can we respond to this? I think there's some people in here, actually I know, that need to lay down some things. You need to lay down, you need to get rid of your alien gods, you need to get other things that are holding you back. You need to gather them. You need to get rid of maybe your Lucky Charm earrings. Honestly, you do. So how do you do that? Well, it'd be great if we had a couple of burning barrels here. Probably the city of Richmond wouldn't go for that. Maybe even our fire department wouldn't really keen on that. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's paperwork. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things could be. Today we live in such a technical world, there's so many things. I used to have to go and buy those dirty magazines. You don't have to buy them anymore, you just have to, six-year-old kids now, if they got access to an internet system, they're smarter than we are on these things, and they just go like this. And they have the most horrible images and influences on their life that you can ever imagine. And guess what? There's lots of parents that are hooked up on this stuff as well. That's just one. That's dross that needs to be burnt off. That's things that need to stop in our lives so that we become more like Jesus Christ.